T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hour number 2, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. A quick NFL side note, because we were talking about this yesterday.
Yes.
According to Adam Schefter, and he's got pretty good sources usually.
Usually right.
He says, breaking, Baltimore has an agreement in principle to trade former Super Bowl MVP Joe Flacco to the Denver Broncos. Is John Elway trying to completely corner the market on guys who can't play the position?
John Elway is so lucky that Peyton Manning lasted a couple of years and didn't break down right away. Because that's the only quarterback that he's brought in that has had any success. They have used high draft picks. They have gone into free agency. Think about it. They drafted Brock Osweiler super high. They drafted Paxton Lynch. I think he was a first-round pick. Case Keenum didn't work. Then they bring Osweiler back. They've been a disaster at quarterback, and I don't think Joe Flacco is going to help them at all. But that, I mean, John Elway, real eye for the position, huh?
Good job, John. I mean,
terrible.
Best of luck with that. Look, there's a reason Baltimore moved on from him.
Right.
He's not that good.
He's not good anymore. He had a really good run in the playoffs. He had a couple of good playoff games, but he is not very good, and now you stick him out in Denver, so now they are completely limited, not a playoff team.
So yesterday during the course of the program, it kind of news broke as we were sitting here about David Pastrnak being injured for the Boston Bruins. When the Bruins announced that Don Sweeney was going to address the media at 11:15, you thought there were one of two possibilities here. One is they've made a trade, and two is somebody got hurt. Well, unfortunately, it was the somebody got hurt thing. And generally speaking, you find that the Bruins have become like the Patriots light in this regard. They tell you nothing.
Oh, it's upper body, lower body.
Yeah,
if
you're lucky, you get that. They keep everything under wraps. They don't leak anything. They don't talk about anything. They've become very Bill Belichick-like.
I mean, remember the Charlie McAvoy concussion?
Yes.
We didn't know it was a concussion. Well, it wasn't public that it was a concussion for the longest time. I think people started to assume that it was, and then finally they said, yes, it was.
But well, then you find out it went back to training camp.
Yeah, right.
So Don Sweeney stepped to the microphones yesterday and all of a sudden became very un-Don Sweeney-like. Mm. Not only did he tell you what was going on, he gave you the details.
David Pastrnak was out on the ice this morning. David actually was undergoing a procedure on his left thumb. Dr. Matt Liebman performed the procedure. The repair was successful. David will be out of the lineup for the next 2 weeks, and then we'll be reevaluated where we will likely have a more definitive timeline as to when he'll return to play. After the game on Sunday, David and several of his teammates attended a sponsorship dinner. At about 11:30, David reported to me, as he said, he reported to me at about 11:30, as some of his teammates were walking to meet their transportation location. He simply fell and injured his thumb. He met with the medical staff yesterday morning early, and the doctors, they called me. And really, it was pretty apparent that he needed to have something done right away, which they did. And it's as simple as that.
I don't know if it's that simple. He goes, it's as simple as that.
Well, let me just say
a few questions.
The details there were a little more than what we're used to.
A ton of details. Like, he really laid it all out there. I mean, did we really need to know that he was at a dinner and that it was at 11:30 and then he was going to his transportation area? Like, that is very surprising. Of all teams, too, that would be like Bill Belichick breaking it down. Like, if all of a sudden a player popped up in the injury report, he's like, well, they had a sponsorship dinner. You know, he went out there and then, you know, 11:30, he gave me a call. You're like, what? Like, what is happening? So that just leads me to believe that they are pretty upset with him, and they want people to know kind of what happened.
They are certainly, there have been instances in the past in the history of the Boston Bruins where players have gotten injured under mysterious circumstances. John Graham fell off a curb, and the next thing you knew, he was on the injured list, goaltender John Graham, when he was a member of the Bruins. And when you first hear this, your first instinct, if he hadn't gone into the detail that he did, you'd say, okay, wait a minute. I think that's why he felt he had to do what he did. I'm just giving you what I...
Sure, yeah.
Sponsorship dinner there with several of his teammates.
Yeah.
He didn't just throw out the on their way to their transportation. He wanted to make sure you knew he wasn't driving.
I know, but it leads me to believe that he shouldn't have been driving, but he also wasn't able to stay on his feet. Like, I hear that. I'm like, oh, my God. Like, right now, in the season like this, you know, you have a couple months, then you have the playoffs. You're the only guy who scores goals on the entire team.
Well, not the only one, but you're the best one.
You're one of three guys. Okay. You're one of three guys that scores goals, and you can't make it from the dinner table to your Uber. Like, that is terrible. And because he mentions it, like, he paints such a picture. And who knows, you know, all the details involved, but they gave you more than they ever would before.
Right.
And so I hear that, and I think personally that they are disappointed with him because, I don't know, if it was just if it was something really innocent and they didn't want to embarrass him, can't they say, yeah, at practice today, took a puck to the thumb? Like,
Except he was never at practice. I mean,
but you could make something up.
Because
you could cover it up if you wanted to.
See, that's the problem, is that... It would be clear you're making something up, you know, because he wasn't on the ice.
Well, could you say in the game he had it and he didn't realize something happened and he had, you know, it happened in the game?
And then we would all be going back through the video.
Sure.
And saying, wait a minute, there's nothing here. There's a couple of details here that jumped out at me. One, he wasn't alone. He was with several teammates.
Mm-hmm.
Don Sweeney said it was a sponsorship dinner. That kind of leads me to believe that the and everybody's first instinct, oh, how much did he have to drink?
Oh, yeah.
He shouldn't have been driving.
Blitzed.
They're a little touchier about things like that. As you could imagine, every team would be. You know, you're going out to a sponsorship thing with sponsors and clients. You know, don't go out there and get ball-hugging drunk and you know, stumbling around.
Oh, see, I think you still could. At a sponsorship thing?
Oh,
Is it like sales guys that are just feeding you drinks?
Well, no, this isn't like the Bruins sales staff. It's like you going out with the account execs in the other room. That could be.
But if they're paying.
Drunken debauchery.
Yes. Oh, yeah, yeah.
No, this was with a sponsor thing.
Yeah.
He
simply fell. I feel like if alcohol wasn't involved, you might have mentioned that in the debriefing there. I think it would have come up, right? And anytime you say, oh, he's going to his transportation, you're like, okay, well, he knew that he couldn't drive, which that part is smart, but
apparently they all had cars arranged by the sponsor.
And good for them. I'd have a car arranged, too, if I was going to go drink all night, right? That part of it is smart, but not being able to, you know, make it there on your own and then injuring your thumb, I think that's a much bigger issue.
I'm not sure, and look, I know what you guys know. I just heard everything that you heard.
Yeah.
I will tell you that the sense I got around the building yesterday after I left here and went to work, they're not mad at him.
They should be.
if he had an accident, they can't be. They can be disappointed he's not available. Obviously, you want him on the ice. He's got 31 goals. What I'm saying is they're not going, God, what the hell is he doing? They are saying publicly and privately as well, he had an accident.
I think all accidents are a little bit different, though. Like, if I got up out of this chair and walked over to the door here in the studio and I fell down, it'd be an accident. It was clumsy. I tripped over my own feet. But if I go home tonight, drink six beers, and then try to walk down the stairs and take a digger, it's an accident. I didn't mean to do it, but it also probably could have been prevented. Like, that's also kind of on me, isn't it?
Right, but but you have to make the assumption.
Oh, I am. I absolutely am making the assumption.
And what are you basing it on?
Oh, I don't know. The Uber, the company dinner, and the 11:30, all of that. And, I don't know, a professional athlete falling down? What do you base it that it's not on?
You have fallen before, haven't you? I mean, it does happen.
Yeah, when I'm hammered.
You've never
drunk.
Fallen...
Sober?
Not, yeah,
no.
You've never fallen sober in your life?
Maybe when I was one. I've been able to stay on my feet pretty good here for a while, for about 30-something years.
Trained athlete at the highest levels,
obviously. Well, not like Pasternak. So, like, what's his excuse?
I fell with you guys walking back to a hotel in Minnesota last year.
Well, that was because it could not have been colder, and it was black ice. So that, I kind of give you a... and you were hammered drunk. There's that part,
that
too.
Mall of America beer was real good.
Yeah, but I definitely think something was up. And, I mean, good news is, I guess, he's only out 2 weeks. But then they also added, remember the Twitter account, the Bruins Twitter said, like, he's expected to return this season. I saw that. I was like, Jesus. Well, I would hope so.
Yeah.
It goes from 2 weeks to
read it yesterday, we went, ooh.
I was like, oh, my goodness.
Yes, I would expect as well. Look,
I would hope so.
They won't even reassess him for 2 weeks. That's the one thing Don Sweeney said.
Right.
any kind of, now they're very careful, they couch things, I understand that. Right. You don't want to put a timetable, because then if you don't make the timetable, what the hell's really wrong with them? He said, we expect we'll have a better sense of the timetable at that time.
Yeah.
They also said he can skate in 10 days. Right. So, you know, he can continue to work on, you know, keeping his conditioning up and all that stuff.
Yeah, so hopefully when he does return, it's not like, you got to really watch
his start from square one.
No,
yeah.
He should be good to go. And just
if he had a bad knee, you know, and you can't skate, and so now you're doing that.
He needs a grip, a stick. That's really all you need at this point.
Well, and we were talking about that last night on the pregame show. It's his left hand. He's a right shot. So, obviously, that's his top hand on the stick.
Mm-hmm.
But as Andy Brickley pointed out, your left hand never leaves the stick, and it's the hand, the right hand is for power, but the left hand is for control. It does matter.
Oh, it absolutely matters. So hopefully 2 weeks goes by, he's able to get the strength back, because they didn't say if it was a break or a tendon thing. They just said thumb,
right? Well, they said it was a tendon.
Okay, so a tendon thing.
Not a ligament. I don't. And by the way, I'm not a doctor. I don't know what the difference is.
You can play one on the radio.
I could pretend. Sure. It was some sort of a tendon issue. And
that seems worse.
And there was a procedure. Now, it didn't sound like it took very long. Because
in and out.
It took place yesterday morning.
Yeah.
Don Sweeney's talking to the media at 11:15 saying, yeah, he had the procedure this morning. Everything went great.
At least they didn't drag their feet, right?
They
got it done. And
let's go. Let's get him in.
Hopefully
let's get
back
him out
as soon as possible. Doesn't miss too many games.
I do understand, by the way, and I'm not criticizing you or anybody else, in this day and age, we have a tendency to try to at many times look at things negatively. I have no idea what David Pastrnak was like that night. I wasn't there, and I haven't talked to anybody who was.
No, I know. But
and I do understand that there are people like yourself who say, well, obviously, if he fell down, he was blasted.
Yeah, that'd be my guess. Right, like, so your guess is just fell.
I think that Don Sweeney went to the detail that he did because he wanted to make sure you didn't come to that conclusion.
Well, he didn't do a good enough job then.
Well,
he should have mentioned alcohol wasn't involved.
Well,
mentioned, he's going to grab his lift, I feel like, okay, hammered, smart. Half of your decision is smart. You weren't driving home, smart, but you couldn't even make it into the back door of the car.
Most sponsors would have done that. Most sponsors would have said, hey, look, we'll have the limo pick you up. They played at 3:00. We'll have the limo pick you up at the Garden.
Yeah.
You'll go to the dinner. We'll get you home afterwards. That part, it's not like you made sure you called Uber because, you know, you couldn't see to drive.
But that could have happened.
Oh, sure. But right. I think that most sponsors would have done exactly that.
They would have had the car waiting for him. But, I mean, he left out any kind of part about that. He just said he fell. And I just think of a highly conditioned athlete just dropping. Like, he didn't say fell on ice.
Nope.
Didn't say icy patch.
He just said he fell.
Just said he fell.
He simply fell. And
yeah, simply fell. I guess it happens to the best of us. So he just took a little bit of a spill.
Well, he's going to be out for a minimum of 2 weeks. I think realistically it's probably going to be a month.
Yeah. Dave will be out of the lineup for the next 2 weeks, and then we'll be reevaluated where we will likely have a more definitive timeline.
Well, 1-0 without him.
I'm not sure.
1-0
against
just like Kyrie
against the hottest team in the league.
That
Keith.
Was a good team. I mean, they're back to
don't really need David Pastrnak. Obviously, he scored 6 last night for crying out loud.
They could use him.
I understand completely if people look at it and say, "Oh, I think we know what happened here," and maybe it did. I have no idea. I was my ears perked up at the detail Don Sweeney offered. And my feeling was, he's going to this detail, going completely away from character. They don't do this. And I thought he was doing it for a specific reason. I want to make sure people know that this is what happened.
Yeah, it was interesting because he gives you way more details than you would normally get, but then also kind of holding out on a couple of the details too. So that's all we have to work with. And I guess, really, the good news is it's not we don't think it's a season-ending injury. That's sort of the best news involved.
Yeah, I will say the line in the Bruins Twitter feed was maybe a little harsh. Nobody I've talked to over at the building thinks this is season-ending.
Yeah, because that was
unless something really dramatic happened going forward.
Right.
They feel that whatever procedure was done, and I don't know these things, that he's going to play.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a question of when he's going to be able to play. And I'm just guessing. I'm totally guessing here. At a month.
No, that sounds right.
You reevaluate him in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
You say, okay, let's start getting you ready now. Takes you a little while to kind of get your game back together again.
And so the trade deadline is
end of February,
the 25th.
Yeah, it's like
So that's coming up.
12 days away or something.
So he won't be back then, but hopefully, you know, maybe they make an addition. Then they also get him back and just in time for the stretch run. That's the hope.
And the question becomes, from a Bruins perspective, does the injury to Pastrnak change what Don Sweeney was planning on doing at the trade deadline? He has freely admitted he's been actively seeking a deal. His words to a season ticket event over the weekend, the team needs a boost. He wants to go out and make a deal. He wanted to make a deal before David Pastrnak fell on Sunday night. But does this change things? You were never going to trade Pastrnak anyway. I don't mean that.
But. No, I think whatever they had in mind, I think it remains the same. And you just hope that you can tread water enough here for you know the 2, 3, 4 right. weeks without Pastrnak. But even if he was still healthy, you would want to make a move. And now that he's not, you could really use the help and then hopefully pair up Pastrnak, this new acquisition, maybe two new acquisitions, and put those guys all together once Pastrnak returns.
If I had a wish list, I'd want Don Sweeney to get two players. A third line center and a top six forward, preferably a right wing.
Yeah, I think so too.
Now, the question is, can you get both of those things? And what's the price tag for both of those things?
Right.
And by the way, that was with Pastrnak. I wanted him. That didn't change for me. Pastrnak went down. Oh, okay. Now you got to get a right wing too. No, I wanted them to do that.
No, they need it anyway. They need scoring. And so, you know, last night was nice to see some other guys get involved in the scoring a little bit, but that hasn't really been there all season long. So they need somebody else. Another guy who is a 20, 30 goal scorer to put up there, maybe pair with Krejci.
617-779-7937. Mark's in Medford. Hey, Mark.
Hey, how are you guys?
What's going on?
Well, say if Pastrnak is gone for the rest of the month and he does come back in 2 weeks, that's 7 games he's going to miss. Okay?
Well, they're going to reevaluate him in 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's kind of wishful thinking.
But it's at least 7 games.
Yes,
okay?
Yes.
So I look at the schedule, and it doesn't look too bad for the Bruins. If they play the way they played last night with Krejci in that spot, if they can get 8 or 9 points out of the next 7 or 8 games, I'll be happy. I won't be disappointed with Pastrnak being out of the lineup. But another thing, that soft goal by Rask last night again. He's good for at least one a game, guys.
No, he's been good for one in the last month. Mark, you gotta
won a game.
Yeah, he's been great in the last 12 games.
That was a horrible.
It was a horrible goal. He said so. That's not one a game.
I'll give it to him. He laughed about it at the end of the interview.
No, he didn't laugh about it. He said that was totally on me.
Right, he laughed after.
Yeah, I mean, he has not given up a soft goal a game. He's been really good.
Okay, maybe that's just my Tuca mentality. I don't know, talking, I'm sorry. But anyway, with the Pastrnak thing, I think they'll be okay without him. If Krejci can play the way he played last night, that was a great game by David Krejci last night. And finally, the Brusque getting a tip in. That was beautiful last night.
Yeah, I mean, and one of the things that I know that Bruce Cassidy talked about was, and they always use this word now in sports, the opportunity for guys like DeBrusk and Heinen and some of the younger guys they'll get more playing time. You know, David Pastrnak averages almost 20 minutes a game. Those minutes have got to go to somebody.
Right.
And now, you know, what are you going to do with them? By the way, David Krejci's had a great year.
Yeah, he kind of has. He's had a very quiet, solid year.
Really, really good year.
And you can only imagine if he had competent guys more often than not. You know, sometimes he is out there with Pastrnak. Not for this next stretch, he won't be. But he's been kind of let down by guys lining up on either side of him all year.
And it seems to change, you know, practically day to day. And David Krejci right now has 46 points in 57 games.
Yeah. Pretty good.
It has probably surprised some people when you look at the numbers.
Right, because all the scoring comes from, you know, those top three guys. But then Krejci's not
too
far behind.
He's the fourth guy.
He is clearly the fourth guy. And then the problem is getting somebody else to be on that same level with him. And, you know, the first couple months of the season, it looked like it might be Jake DeBrusk. And then he has obviously really cooled down. And nobody else has been able to carry any of the scoring load.
Marchand hustles onto the puck. Krejci. DeBrusk tips it in.
Good call, Jack.
Yep. Very solid.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Follow Dale on Twitter at Dale E. Arnold. This is Dale and Keith on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Well, we went through some of these challenges earlier in the year. Bergie's out, Z on all our D-Core, predominantly got through it. So someone else will have to step up within the group. We don't expect any one player to deliver what Pasta has to this point or could going forward, but you know, we'll look at different people in there that have had some level of success and see if they can, like I said, fill some of those, fill some of the void, and that's what's in front of us.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. That's Bruce Cassidy, Bruins head coach, post-game. Look, it was a nice win for the Bruins. Chicago came to town as literally the hottest team in the NHL. They had won seven in a row.
Yeah, how'd that happen?
I don't know, because they started the year really bad.
Yeah, they're terrible. They're still in last place, even with the seven-game winning streak.
Yeah, and, you know, the Bruins played great. They got secondary scoring. You know, it's one night. It's let's not go crazy here. They also got, you know, big night from Marchand, who had 4 points. Big night from Krejci, who had 3 points. They also got performances from Heinen and DeBrusque, and that's all positive. I mean, going forward, you need that, especially if you're not going to make a major deal here. Although I do think Don Sweeney needs to make not
something,
not a prop up. Their fourth line is fine. Don't touch it. Leave it alone. They now play them against some of the team's best lines out there. Don't care if they score. Don't get scored on. And they're going in some really tough matchups. Their first line is fine. You got no problems. With Pasternak out, your second line's a question, but your third line is where you've got...
You got nothing there.
It has been the black hole for this team.
I mean, I don't know if you have enough to make a complete overhaul, but you could see them adding a couple of guys, and those are the kind of guys that should be available at the deadline. I think everybody gets excited every year, no matter what the sport is, for the trade deadline, and you're hoping for these marquee guys to move. But in the NHL, it's more often sort of these B-minus, C-plus players that end up getting dealt for late-round picks. That's more what you see, but even that would be something that would really help the Bruins out.
I'll tell you who my buddy Billy Jaffe desperately wants them to go get. Mark Stone from the Ottawa Senators. He thinks Stone is the perfect fit for what you're looking for.
Sure.
I think they need two players, but if you only got one, that's the one Jaffe really wants them to go get. Matt's in Wilmington. Hey, Matt.
Hey, guys.
What's up?
I think even if Pasternak, assuming that he comes back, and assuming that Matt Grizzlick comes back, who I think he's just kind of a day-to-day guy, and they're only one trade away and getting, to me, that winger to get on that Krejci line to make this team that much deeper and be a legit cup contender. Aside from Tampa Bay, everything else, just like every year in the NHL, is pretty much up for grabs, and the Bruins have a pretty good history against Tampa Bay. So, like you said, Mark Stone is out there. Everybody talks about Wayne Simmonds. I wouldn't go for Panarin and you know, that, but you've got, I think, Zuccarello, and the Rangers have got some guys on the wing that have some veteran presence and have some goal scoring. There's plenty of guys out there, but I think they're just that one guy away, because Corrali can center that third line. And if you go and get that winger to put on Krejci's line, now you make everybody deeper and you can drop everyone down one peg.
Yeah, I really don't want to mess with the fourth line with Corrali, Achari, and Wagner. They're, and what Cassidy's now doing is he's using him against, when they played Colorado on Sunday, he had them out there against, you know, that top line of the Colorado Avalanche.
Yeah.
And they did a terrific job. I don't want to break them up.
No, I don't think you need to. I really don't. Now, going back,
I don't know if I agree that you're one trade away from being a cup contender.
And what did he say, that they match up well with Tampa, or they've played well against Tampa?
Tampa Bay right now, I mean, barring something happening, right now Tampa Bay looks like the Golden State Warriors of the NHL.
Yeah.
And I understand. Doesn't always work out that the best team in hockey goes on to win the cup. I understand
they
that.
They have 16 more points than the Bruins right now.
Really, they're a wagon.
They're ridiculous. They are great. So I don't
Nikita
know if you
Kucherov
measure
is the leading scorer in the league.
Yeah, and okay, you beat him in the playoffs in, what, 2011 or whatever. Like, I don't know if that means that, hey, you match up well with them now. I mean, they are absolutely rolling. Going back to Mark Stone, that would be a rental. What do you think it would take to get him? Like, are you talking about a couple of your young guys and picks, or what?
Maybe a young guy and a pick.
And would you want to do that? I know you said Jaffe wants to do that. So
yes.
You would do that?
I like Stone a lot.
Yeah. I mean, Stone helps them without question. I just wonder, like, I disagree with the last caller. I don't think one move
and all of a sudden you're a contender. Now, if that move is a part of a bigger trade deadline day, then maybe I could entertain that, and then you go for it again.
Like Artemi Panarin's a terrific player, available from Columbus. You can go get him. He's almost like Anthony Davis. He's already said he wants to go to free agency
sure
this
gone.
Summer.
Yeah.
You know, it is literally a rental. Now, you may be able to talk him into staying, all that. Right. Fans always say that. Well, once he gets here, you know.
But then do you want to pay him a ton of money? Because that's probably what it would take, right?
It's going to take a lot of money.
Yeah. So I don't know if they're in a position where that's really the best move for them.
But like Davis, he's already said, I'm going to free agency.
Right.
I'm going to see what's out there. I'm going to do that. Which, by the way, hurts the trade value for the Blue Jackets.
But is he like Davis in the sense that he makes you one of the two or three best teams in the sport? Like, I don't
know.
Yeah, see, that's the big difference.
Joe's in Rhode Island. Hey, Joe, how you doing?
What's up, Joe? Hey, Joe. What do you got, Joe?
I'll put Joe on hold.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not even sure, by the way, that he makes you good enough to beat Tampa Bay.
Right.
But he puts you a lot closer.
Yeah, and then, you know, if your first-round matchup is against Toronto, he gives you a much better chance of advancing out of the first round.
The previous caller said the Bruins match up great against Tampa Bay. The team they match up great against is Toronto.
It's Toronto. Tampa, I don't really see it. I feel like Tampa might be just a little too talented. I don't know who matches up well with Tampa. They may not exist this year.
Not this year.
No.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We already told you, according to Adam Schefter, Joe Flacco is headed from the Ravens to the Broncos. By the way, the move can't be official until next Wednesday, which is the official start of the league year.
Right, okay.
But that doesn't stop Schefter from reporting stuff like this.
Do you think John Elway will fire himself? I mean, at what point do you say, you know what, this isn't really for me. This job isn't really for me anymore.
So we'll talk about that. We'll also talk about a severely depleted Patriots coaching staff. Now, it's all goodness and light around here. You just won a Super Bowl. Everything's great. Tom Brady's great. You know, everything's good. Oh, man, have you got some holes to fill. We'll get to that as well. 617-779-7937. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Take Dale and Keefe with you wherever you go. Download the radio.com app. Now back to Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
6:01. So it's kind of a rosy offseason if you're a New England Patriots fan. I mean, you've got the Super Bowl championship. You had the duck boat parade. You've got the best coach-quarterback combo in the history of the game, if not in the history of sports, coming back for another year. But it doesn't mean that there are not question marks. If you go to the Patriots website, I have it here in front of me. If you go to NewEnglandPatriots.com and click on the heading for coaching staff, and they've got a nice big headshot there of Bill Belichick,
sure.
Head coach.
Yeah.
Offensive coaches. They've got offensive coordinator, quarterbacks coach Josh McDaniels.
Sure.
Offensive line coach Dante Scarnecchia.
3 for 3 so far.
Running backs coach Ivan Fiers.
Great guy.
Tight ends coach Nick Cayley.
All right. Not familiar with him, but that's good. Good stuff.
But they list them. And then they've got the defensive staff listed. Safeties coach Steve Belichick.
You can continue if you want.
That's it.
They have one defensive coach?
They have
Technically, Greg Schiano, we know, is on his way over.
He's not here yet, but at the moment, they have one defensive coach listed on their website.
Do you have a theory for the mass exodus that has been the Patriots coaching staff? Because Brian Flores makes all the sense in the world. Brian Flores got a head coaching job, so he's going down to Miami. I get that. Just like they lost Patricia last year, it makes sense. But they've lost a ton of other guys. And, you know, you haven't heard of all their names before, but a lot of other position coaches. Is it up to five guys from this year's staff that have all bailed?
They have lost Brian Flores, obviously. Now, he was listed as the linebackers coach officially, but we know he was the de facto defensive coordinator. They've lost Brendan Daly, defensive line coach. They've lost Josh Boyer, the cornerbacks coach. And then on offense, they've lost Chad O'Shea, wide receivers coach. Jerry Schuplinski, who was the assistant quarterback coach.
And so this is an organization that is almost always promoted from within, right? They've taken their guys, whether it was Patricia, McDaniels, now Flores, all these guys have been on the staff as like low-level assistants and then worked their way up to these prominent roles. It seemed like if McDaniels left, or with Flores leaving, that guys like Chad O'Shea or Brendan Daly would have been in line for that. And so maybe they feel like they got overlooked and they want to leave. Much like, remember, Pepper Johnson was here.
Right. He didn't think he was ever going to get it.
Matt Patricia leapfrogged him. So Pepper was like, all right, see you later. But I wonder if those guys feel that way. Or why would you want to leave this staff if you're not, unless you're going to be a head coach? Again, Flores put him to the side. That makes a ton of sense. But all those other guys to bail on the Patriots, I was surprised. I don't even know if I have a working theory yet as to why they all left. Are they sick of Belichick? Do they really think it's, hey, I got to prove that I can do it somewhere else? I mean, I know some are going with Flores, but not even all of them. It's not like they're all going.
Daly's going to Kansas City, right?
What is that? Where did that come from? And is he getting a promotion?
And in some of these cases, contracts are up. I mean, they're perfectly free and clear to go do what they want to do.
Yeah.
In the instances of where guys are under contract, but it's clearly a promotion, Brian Flores, you know, Bill Belichick's not going to stand in his way of going taking the head coaching job in Miami. You know,
but
O'Shea
Brendan
or Schuplinski.
Like Brendan Daly, for example, has been with the Patriots since 2014. He started as a defensive assistant, then he was the D-line coach from 15 to 18. And now he is the defensive line coach for the Chiefs. Not a promotion. You're going to the
team. His contract was up, by the way. He didn't, in other words, they didn't have to.
So did they not want him, maybe? Like I can't.
Or did he just not want to come back?
I'm just surprised. I didn't think they would want as much turnover. And maybe it is these guys. You know, maybe they wanted to leave. I'm not sure. But it seems kind of odd, doesn't it? And now you do have to go to the outside and get Greg Schiano, and you have to fill all those other spots too. So we'll see who they come up with for those.
When you're successful, when you win Super Bowls, obviously people are going to come poach some of your coaches. But to lose five coaches in one off season, seems like a lot to me. When you've got one returning defensive coach right now, and his last name is Belichick,
right?
You've got a couple of assistants, the defensive assistant, Mike Pellegrino. Maybe he's in line for a promotion. That's how this normally works. And he'll end up, you know, as a position coach. Yeah. Interestingly enough, the coaching assistant on the defensive side is Brian Belichick.
Okay. So
and
he'll
maybe
probably get promoted.
He will be promoted to one of these, you know, open position coaches.
And wasn't there the rumor they were going to get one of Lombardi's kids?
Lombardi.
Yeah.
Mike's son, who was the assistant quarterbacks coach for the New York Jets. Right. Now, they just lost their assistant quarterbacks coach, Jerry Schuplinski, so maybe that's the job he's going to get.
Maybe they'll do that. Now, ultimately, I don't think it really matters. Like, some of these position coaches, I mean, Dante Scarnecchia is sort of in a class unto his own as far as the importance of a position coach. But with McDaniels back, I feel like the offense is going to be the same. Defensively, that's where the question comes in, but it's more, how does Schiano do compared to Flores rather than you got a new D-line coach, you got a new corners coach? Like, I'm looking more at, all right, how does Schiano fit in? Now, he was sort of viewed as a bit of a hard ass at Rutgers and at Tampa Bay, and that didn't really work at Tampa Bay, but now you're not the head coach. So maybe you're able to, you know,
you don't have to see everything. You don't have to be worried about the quarterback. You don't have to be worried about all these little details that you do as a head coach. But that's the biggest wild card out of all of this coaching news.
I mean, the Patriots have always had one of the slimmest, trimmest coaching staffs in the entire NFL anyway.
Right.
This past season, defensive coaches on the staff, they had four.
Mm.
They had Brian Flores, Brendan Daly, Josh Boyer, Steve Belichick. And three of those four are now gone.
Less is more.
And Belichick sort of feels that way sometimes. Say,
and when your head coach is a genius on both sides, but specifically on defense, I mean, that's fine. Like you have trust in all those guys, and they made it work. And then even offensively, it was good to go. You had McDaniels there, all that consistency, Skarnecki back for another year. And the fact that all those guys are coming back, that helps. It's not like everybody, not like you're replacing a bunch of significant roles or both coordinators. Right, like that's not the case.
Now, in Daly's case, A, I think his contract was up, but B, his wife's from Kansas City. You know, it may be a family thing as much as anything else, as much as, you know, I got to get the hell away from Bill Belichick. The other question you'd have, I guess, is that with reportedly a new defensive coordinator coming in,
is he bringing some of his
Greg
guys?
Does Greg Schiano want some of his guys here?
Yeah, maybe. And you would think Steve Belichick, who's obviously not going anywhere, but
and wasn't going to be the defensive coordinator.
No, he wasn't. But he played for Greg Schiano at Rutgers, so they already have a relationship.
Yep.
And so maybe.
And
those
by the way,
look
even
good.
If they didn't, sorry, Greg, that's a coach you can't get rid of.
This guy's going to stick around, but maybe his role goes up. Maybe they ask him to do even a little bit more. You know, we'll see. I mean, Schiano is going to be the guy running the defense, but maybe the responsibilities increase for Steve Belichick as well.
Now, the other thing here, and the other question mark, obviously, is, you know, the reports are Schiano's going to be the defensive coordinator. Why haven't they announced it? My guess is, based on Belichick's past precedents, he doesn't do this piecemeal. He'll
make the announcement together.
They'll do an announcement that says, here's the defensive coordinator, here's the linebackers coach, here's the cornerbacks coach. I mean, my guess is that's when he'll announce it.
Yeah, they very well could. Just hire them all together. And because it didn't take long after the Super Bowl for the Greg Schiano thing. In fact, it was before the Super Bowl we got rumors about Greg Schiano. Everybody was saying that because Brian Flores, you knew, was gone. We'd known for weeks he was going to Miami, and it was either Brendan Daly in-house or Brett Bielema or Greg Schiano. Those are the three names. And you're like, all right, either they're going to do what they normally do and promote from within. But the other two guys have a lot of overlap. In fact, Bielema is doing stuff for the Patriots. Schiano has been a long-time associate of Belichick. So that none of them are really surprising.
Isn't it hard, though, it's hard for me to imagine there's not going to be at least some disruption of the Patriots, especially knocking what he does. I'm saying he's the safeties coach.
Right.
He's gone.
Right.
You're going to have a new coordinator. You're going to have new position coaches at defensive line, linebacker, cornerback. I mean, it's hard for me to imagine there's not some change here.
I think there's definitely going to be some change. We saw change between Patricia and Flores. So will you see how much change?
What we thought was a positive change.
It was
too.
100% positive change. So will you see more of that? Like, is he closer to Patricia, closer to Flores? Is he his own guy somewhere in between? I think also what the personnel looks like will really dictate that too. Because I think there's a chance that Devin McCourty retires, who's sort of like your coach on the field.
Although so he's kind of backing away from that.
Who,
too.
Devin?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think there's a chance, and maybe he does come back.
He said we overrated what he had said.
Yeah. All right, but he hasn't said he's coming back yet.
No. So, but he also kind of is backing away from the whole, you know, he may walk out of here.
But, you know, do they ask Dante Hightower to take a haircut, and then does he not want to? Like, I'm curious how much of the personnel, specifically the leaders of that defense, are back. Like, Stephon Gilmore's back, and he's great, and so that helps you out a lot. But is Trey Flowers back, or do you lose him? Like, how many guys, is it a new coordinator with all the same faces, or is it a new coordinator with three or four or five different starters on defense, too?
The other part of this is that in the past, because of the way Belichick has always run things, you know, where they're promoting from within, they begin as assistants, you know, coaching assistants, defensive assistants, and then they percolate up. You don't necessarily have to coach the coaches. He may have to do some coaching of the coaches, especially on the defensive side. Offensive side of the ball.
I think they're set.
They'll find a way to get around Schlupinski and O'Shea's departure.
They'll make up for that.
You know, they've still got, obviously, the most important guy, Josh McDaniels, followed by Dante Skarnecchia. They've got Ivan Fears in place. But on the defensive side, when you got one guy coming back.
Yeah, I could see Bill Belichick being more hands-on defensively, which is a good thing.
Right? Like, according to Tony Romo, he was running the whole defense in the Super Bowl anyway.
Yeah, he was doing the whole thing anyway. But that's definitely a good thing. And, you know, it is going to be a little bit different, but they have made up for. It's not like this is the first time he's lost somebody. I mean, he's been here for 20 years. They've gone through a few different offensive coordinators, a few different defensive coordinators, sometimes losing them both at once. So they've had to figure out how to move on without those guys before. So that's nothing he's not familiar with.
It'll be interesting. In off seasons around here are always, they let that guy go? Yeah. What, are they crazy? What is Belichick thinking? Oh, they brought in that guy? He can't play. They gave Stephon Gilmore how much money? What are they thinking?
Yeah.
And this offseason, all of a sudden, you're going to have a bunch of coaching appointments here, and half the names you're probably not, other than Shiano, you'll know his name. Half of them you may not even know, and all of a sudden, it could actually change the tenor and feel of this team even more than the roster additions you make.
Yeah, it could. I still think that, you know, who ends up, what do they do with Trey Flowers and Trent Brown is more important than position coaches. It is. And there's a lot more money invested, different ramifications, because if you tie up all this money in a certain guy, does that prevent you from getting others? Who would their replacements be? Like, at least Trent Brown, you can sort of envision Isaiah Wynn being the replacement. Trey Flowers, you going to try to hit on another guy in the middle of the draft, or are you going to spend money on somebody else that's, you know, playing for a different team right now who's a free agent? I think those are going to be the most important questions this offseason. There's always the stuff with Brady's contract, the guys who may or may not retire. That's sort of one thing. But as far as key players on your Super Bowl winning team that are up, that are free agents, it to me, Trey Flowers, Trent Brown is the most important thing.
I think that we've soft-pedaled the magnitude of the changes that are taking place here. We're used to having guys leave. It's happened before. We've had both coordinators leave in the same offseason before. But boy, five coaches in one offseason.
I wonder if Chad O'Shea saw this as he was likely the Josh McDaniels replacement, right? I think even last
That's
year
when
McDaniels was gone for a week there to the Colts and then came back, you thought probably promote from within, and maybe he's not the coordinator, just like Flores wasn't the coordinator, but that's his role. I wonder if he looked at it and said, man, I don't think Josh McDaniels is going to get a head coaching job. I feel like Bill's going to be here for a while. I feel like Josh is going to be here for a while. So I probably have a better chance to
move
on somewhere else. That'd be my guess, at least in that one specific case.
617-779-7937. Billy's up in New Hampshire. Hey, Billy.
Hi. I got a question for you guys.
Sure.
World Series, okay, the Red Sox beat the L.A. Dodgers.
That's right.
Okay. Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Patriots beat the L.A. Rams.
Heard that, yeah.
That's correct.
Okay. I was wondering, how many times has that happened that two cities have played championship two sports same year, and the same city won both times?
Seven.
Yeah, it's happened seven times.
It has.
Yeah. I totally made that up.
That sounds good.
I mean, sounds legit. I sold it with conviction,
it
but
was
I,
seven.
I have no idea.
Is that counting this year, or does it make it eight with this year?
No, it's counting this year.
Okay, it's moved up to seven.
I completely made it up. I have no idea.
Is this Trivia Wednesday on Dale and Keefe? Is that what I missed?
Yeah, next hour.
Save it for Tuesday. I think every Tuesday we have some good trivia questions with Bill in the car.
You sure? I was thinking he'd call back next hour.
No, we're good.
He might have a thought on Bruins and Celtics beating the
same
teams.
I was waiting for Mr. Triggerfinger over there to blow
up. I had it on there, but I wanted to see where he was going.
I was curious too, but I kind of had an idea. I thought he was going to say, what are the chances that it's Celtics-Lakers? I was going to say slim. Real
what about
slim.
Kings Bruins?
Even slimmer.
Even slimmer.
Even
slimmer. Not good at all.
Not a very good Kings team.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.